What's up? What's up? We are back with another Baseball Card Strategy Show, episode 9. I am your host, Lefty McKee slash Kendall McKee, and welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show Network on nooffseason.com. We love that you're here. We love making content that's going to make you money in sports cards. I have had a decent bankroll grow over the last couple of years, and that's just following some pretty easy to follow statistics if you know what you're looking for. But a guy who has helped me big time find some diamonds in the rough is my man Colby Olson here from justbaseball.com. We do a lot of work together. We're good friends. We have talked prospects for the last couple of years now, really, and we have been able to, a lot of the guys that I have talked about over the last couple of years on this show has been because of a lot of the same practices that we have done through the Just Baseball Network, through Colby and Aram and a bunch of other guys, just diving deep and looking at guys in terms of what they do in the minor leagues, but also looking at some statistical analysis. And so what today we're going to talk about is what kind of stats you could potentially be looking for so that you guys could be diving into some prospects of your own and potentially, instead of just regurgitating everything that I or Paul or whoever says, you can kind of do some research on your own and potentially find some guys and make your own plays, which is eventually where we want to grow you guys. We want you guys to be self-feeders instead. And, you know, that's the win for us is that if we're all winning and kind of playing in a network together. But anyway, Colby, what's up, my man? I've been talking for 2 minutes and you haven't said a word yet. So let's just get an introduction. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to talk some cards. I haven't, admittedly, I haven't been as engaged in buying lately. Like this season, I haven't been like picking up too many things. So when you asked me to come on, it was kind of a good opportunity for me to do some research on some guys. Like I know guys that are performing well, but it was a good research opportunity for me to go to eBay and be like, oh wow, this guy's card's going for like $15 right now. Are you kidding me? The big thing I'm sitting on right now, though, before we get into the episode, is I'm sitting on that Gunnar Henderson out of 99 that I bought last year for, I believe I bought it for like $600. It's still raw. I need to get it graded because the PSA 10s right now are selling for like $1,500, but if you go and look at what he's done over the last month, man, he has a 168 WRC plus over the last month, still striking out a bunch, 30% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate, but I know he can walk. I think it's just that he's locked in right now. He's swinging the bat, 58% hard hit rate over that span. He's hitting everything in the air. And the crazy thing about Gunnar Henderson is like, yeah, he was the number one prospect coming into the year, but he's still 21 years old in the big leagues. So like, it's pretty amazing to see him doing what he's doing. So I think there's actually still an opportunity to buy him right now. You can still get that out of 99 raw for like $600. So I think, you know, there is an opportunity still to buy Gunnar Henderson. I think he's still going to continue to climb.
Yeah. At the National last year, Paul and I were walking around and I saw a out of 250 Gunnar Henderson raw, and this was right before he got called up. So I saw one and I was like, oh man, I think it's going for about this. And this guy has it listed for about this. If I could get it for like this, then this is a pretty decent play. And I could literally walk across the aisle here and go to there's like a Dallas showcase grading company that will like give you a pre-grade for like $20 or something. So I was like, okay, if I can get it for this, bake in the pre-grade, see if it's going to be a 10, go walk over there and get my business done. So I ended up buying it for like $200 or something. Walked over there and it was going to pre-grade an 8. So I was like, okay, not even going to worry about it. Just going to sell it raw. The next week he got called up, I sold it for $500. And so I was like, let's go. So I'm big into Gunnar Henderson as a fan, but I have gotten rid of all of his cards. But it's good for me to hear that his WRC plus is turning back around, especially because he had just an abysmal early part to this year.
Yeah, and I think it was mostly unlucky. Like, this is a guy that hits the ball so hard that he's not going to be able to sustain stretches where he slumps for an entire season. There's just no way. But being 21 in the big leagues is also a tough task. You can see what Anthony Volpe's doing. Like, completely different players at the plate right now. But, dude, let's get into it. I have some new guys that I want to talk about.
All right. So save all the juice. Just save the juice for a little bit. We got to have some stuff for the end of the show. But what I do want to ask, just in reference to your young player profile question that you said, look at what Anthony Volpe is doing. How does that make you feel about the young shortstop in LA?
Young shortstop in LA. Who's that?
I forgot his last name real quick. This always happens to me where I know him, and then as soon as I start talking about him on a podcast, I just forget everything of what I'm trying to say.
It happens. There's a lot of names, man. There's a lot of names in my brain. I'm like, I'll be looking at a guy in Fangraphs and then I'll go away from the tab. And I'm like, wait, who was that?
Frick.
But
you know what? I'll bring it back. You just keep talking. You talk about Anthony Volpe. Should we be selling, or is it scary enough, or are we still hopeful on his career?
No, I don't think it's scary enough. I think that this is a guy who got called up to the big leagues after playing, 110 games in Double-A, played 22 games in Triple-A, and then made the major league roster as a 21-year-old. And not just like any major league roster, it's the New York Yankees. And anytime you make the New York Yankees as the shortstop, you are going to be compared to Derek Jeter, and pressure is going to be very, very high to perform immediately. And Volpe has not performed well at the plate. He has a 71 WRC plus, a 192 average. He's striking out over 30% of the time. I wrote a long article on Just Baseball about his, shortcomings this year. And they're not just offensive, they're also defensive. He's making a lot of, errors on routine ground balls, which I think you could chalk up to him being just a little bit nervous and putting a little bit too much pressure on himself to perform. But you can see how he's being exploited right now. He's getting exploited on inside fastballs and sliders away, and he has no discipline against those outside sliders. He's swinging and missing on those outside sliders all day long, and you can see that pitchers are attacking him in this way. So, like, I recommend to go watch some Anthony Volpe at bats because you can really see it. But I think it's something that he's 22, he's figuring it out. Like, this is a guy that, mashed his way through the minor leagues. I don't see him. I still think he's a superstar. Like, I really do.
Nice. So in terms of his buying or card profile, would you say he was a buy, sell, or a hold?
If you own him, I would say hold. There's no reason to sell at the bottom of his market right now.
Yeah.
Looking at his card prices right now, you can get, here's an SGC 10 auto that just sold for $320. Like, his card prices are still up there. So I would say hold. If you're that scared and you need the money, sell. But yeah, I don't see any reason not to hold right now. I also wouldn't necessarily recommend buying right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not somebody that I absolutely am in love with, but I still think he's a star.
Fair. Okay, so the LA shortstop, Zach Neto. I can't believe I forgot his name. Okay. I'm like, dude, what is going on? He's been pretty decent. I've watched him the past couple of days gotten some eyeballs on him as of late with the Rangers having a series with LA. But he seems to be adjusting really well, especially for a guy that's just blown out of the minor league systems. Honestly, he's a card guy that we were high on when he was coming out of the set, but he honestly didn't give me enough time to invest in him.
Dude, he has played 44 minor league games. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore, where a guy makes his debut and immediately is just put on the major league roster. And he's holding his own, more than holding his own. He has a 113 WRC plus. Let me extrapolate that to like the last month, though. I mean, I imagine that he's starting to settle in a bit here. All right, let's go May 1st.
He's made some crazy defensive plays, too. I'm like, wow.
If you go back to May 1st, he has a 121 WRC plus at the major league level. He's striking out less than 20%. And you look at the batted ball profile. He's hitting a ton of line drives. It's a very balanced Bat-A-Ball profile. What are his cards going for right now? Does he have a card?
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's got some cards. I'm sure they're going for quite a bit, honestly, because he jumps so quickly. I'm sure that he never really – what you like to see is you like to see when a prospect comes out of this draft profile, he's going to be really high probably financially. You're going to have a high investment on him. What you like to do is have the perfect like profile for us is a guy that's fallen out of favor. You get in, he resurges, and then as soon as we sell him, as soon as he gets to the major leagues. So Zach Neto didn't really fit my profile for a guy that's wanting for us to be on our buy list, except for when he left the product, I was like, yeah, this guy is really good. This guy is good enough to especially with being probably the number two prospect in that LA system over Ohapi or under Ohapi. And so, I mean, a PSA. A raw Roman Chrome auto just sold yesterday for $91. That's pretty cheap when you look at a starting shortstop in the major leagues who's having WRC plus numbers like that.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you look at that price, and then a guy I want to talk about later in the episode, but it kind of applies to now, is Matt McClain.
Okay.
I mean, his raw base auto is going for like double that. And I don't view him that differently.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, like, Zach could have, like, just by us chatting here, Zach Neto could be a cool long-term play. I mean, obviously, we look at – so one thing we love to look at in the Sports Card Strategy show and just what we try to do here is, like, what are the markers and what are the selling opportunities between now and the next 6 to 12 months for a guy? And so, arguably, Neto doesn't exactly – have a ton of those because he's been called up and he's probably not going back down. But this LA team is going to go through a lot of transformation in the next couple of months/years. They've got to figure out what they're going to do with Ohtani. They've got Trout who's healthy again. But Neto seems to be a guy that's rising up in that team to play third fiddle here. And so whatever they do with Shohei, it seems like they still have a guy that they can kind of rely on. And in an LA system that is honestly probably going to challenge Houston here pretty soon for that second spot in the West, Houston's in trouble. You know, especially with Alvarez going down, their pitching is not what they thought it was going to be this year. They let go of some studs that they thought were going to be able to be replicated, and they just haven't been, honestly. And so Houston is – are they in trouble?
I wouldn't say they're in trouble, but they're vulnerable. They're the most vulnerable I've ever seen them in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
It's hard to even think about the last time they were this vulnerable.
Yeah, man. I mean, and the crazy thing is they're not just vulnerable from one team. They're vulnerable from the Rangers, from the Mariners, and the Angels right now. Like, all four of those teams are very, very close in proximity to how good they are.
The West was so bad last year. Like, it was just the worst division to watch. We were doing that. We were doing the division show at justbaseball.com. I forget what we called it, but we were doing that last year, and I had the AL West, and my co-host was like, I can't even do this anymore. So I went to no co-host after half the season because the West was so boring to watch. And now these four teams are legitimate contenders for playoffs.
I mean, your Texas Rangers are the most exciting team in baseball, I think. Like, I cannot get enough of watching that lineup.
They definitely match.
9 in that lineup is so, so good. Like, you get to 9, it's still Leody Taveras or even Ezekiel Durant.
Come on, mega. Lineup. Leody's finally getting some who probably would be a guy who, like, if you had bought Leody, actually, I have a couple Leody Taveras autos. I probably should sell those because I got them for like $1 because he was so bad after being the number one prospect for a long time. And so he's finally turning it around, getting some exit velos that seem to be pretty good. I mean, you're better at that than I am, but Leody's finally turning it around.
I think that's the hardest thing about the hobby. It is the timing of it all because Leody Taveras, right? He's what? Still 22,
24, 23, 24.
And like his prospect card came out when he was probably like 18 or 19. And so for some of those young guys, like they get so hyped as 18 or 19 year olds, then they fade off for a year or two. And then, by the time they're 23, they're good again, but nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he's rocking a 135 WRC plus this year in the major leagues with a 305 batting average, 18% strikeout percentage, and a 176 ISO. The guy's playing really well. And last year I said, Aram, the Marlins should trade for Leody for this center fielder. They should do the Pablo switch with Leody. And he was like, no, he's terrible. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. It's a pipe dream. And now I texted him the other day. I was like, Leody definitely should have been somebody the Marlins acquired. And he was like, absolutely. The Rangers are a fun watch right now. There is a lot of investable cards in the Rangers system, Evan Carter being one of them. And there's just a lot of guys after that that I think you could make decent return on in terms of sports card strategy, but not in a sports card strategy, but similar. We've talked sometimes about betting in some of our shows here. But the other day I saw that Marcus Semien was plus 1300 for AL MVP. I would be willing to sprinkle at least one unit on that.
He's going off right now. I don't know if the bat's going to sustain, but he's, yeah. I mean,
he hit a home run last night and shushed the Angels. He was like, what a power move. All right, let's jump back into our lineup here. We got a little bit off, but we want to talk about, jumping back to what we want to talk about, I want to know how to find and make good baseball plays just based off of stats. If we take the emotion out of it, which is what we have tried to do in our little group chat that we have, we try to take the emotion out and just look at sheer numbers, swing path, all this kind of projectables, athleticism. We try to take all the name hype out of this thing and just find a guy that's got all the markers that we have and then buy him because we believe in our system. That's kind of how Indy Rodriguez came to the plate. A lot of the people on this show profited from me talking about Indy for the last couple of years. We were talking about Ellie way early when he was on the checklist of 22. Obviously we've just profited big time off of him. So let me ask you this question. I know that I gave you these questions earlier before we jump into the absolute statistics, but have you taken a bath on a prospect over the last couple of years? Like, have you just missed hard? Because I have a couple that I am low on right now.
Right now I'm sitting on a Robert Hassel out of 99 auto that I definitely bought at the height of his market. And then he gets hurt and it comes out that he had a broken hamate bone, which taps all of your power. But yeah, I've definitely taken a bath on him. He's starting to get it going, but the power just has not been there for him. So
he is a guy you can hold and hope for in the future.
I'm just going to hold. Like, I would rather hold than take like a $300 loss on that.
Absolutely.
but yeah, Robert Hass is probably the biggest bath I've taken.
Yeah.
Although I really haven't. If I'm being honest, I've probably taken a bath on your breaks.
Nice. Yeah, Colby is a significant buyer into just breaks.
But it finally paid off.
Yeah, it did. That's what I was about to say. Like, he finally ended up popping a huge auto earlier this year when we started breaking 23 Bowman. You want to reveal who it was? Do you have it with you?
It's I don't know how to say it exactly. It's Josu DePaula.
It's Josue DePaula.
And he, I've looked at the swing. It's so hard. I think when you're looking at Dominican Summer League or complex stats or even low A statistics, you have to take it with such a grain of salt because the pitching is so, not even bad isn't the word. It's just inconsistent. Nobody has any control. Nobody has any idea where the ball is going. So it actually is somewhat hard to be a great hitter in those complex leagues in the Dominican Summer League.
Yeah, everything's coming 106 and maybe at your head. You just never know.
You don't know. And so DePaula, though, I looked at the swing, and the swing looks really, really good. He's getting comps from scouts to, I mean, Yordan. Like, that's legitimately what they're throwing out there. I mean,
is his ceiling Yordan?
He just turned 18. He has a 2005 birthday. I think this was the first
That's unreal.
The first player for me where I like, I saw 2005 birthday and I was like, oh my God, I'm old.
Yeah, dude, I'm old for sure. I remember 2005.
2005?
That's so funny. Back to the taking a bath. Recently, we've talked up Mason Hour. You texted me before the show and you were like, hey, don't even look at Hour's prices. It's rough. If I'm honest about who I've taken a bath on most this year, it's Hour, Tatis, and then I have to put in our fun little meme guy, Austin Shenton. I have to put him in here as well because I just was like, hey, I'm buying autos for like $3. I've got to buy 15 of them. And so I just want to show you a little bit of my little Austin Shenton collection here.
I have two out of 99s.
I have just a gazillion Austin Shentons that I can just keep showing you. And it's just, oh, this one's out 250. We just got them all over here just going crazy. But if I'm taking a bath per se on a guy, I like to say that I'm out on them, and I'm not out on any three of these guys. Shenton is tearing it up right now, which is thankfully. Maybe he'll get a shot here at some point or maybe get traded. Tatis, I think, is going to keep doing just amazing things. And what do you think about Mason Hour? Are we worried about him?
I genuinely don't even know. Like, I would need to get some scouts' opinion on this or RM, like somebody who's watched video on him, because – it's kind of inexplicable what's happening with Hour this year. He's hitting 167. And this isn't just in like some small sample. It's in 51 games this year. He has a 39% K rate and he's hitting 167.
Do you think it's because of his first jump to double A?
I mean, no, like that shouldn't explain a jump from a 24% strikeout rate last year all the way to 39%. Like, did he lose his eyesight? Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a jump like
pulled
that.
Pulled a Tommy Pham and has to have, like, eye surgery or whatever.
Legitimately, I don't know if I've ever seen a jump like that. And he's still stolen 24 bags in 51 games. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's so confusing awesome. To me that maybe actually, like, I do want to ask Arm to watch some video because he's so legitimately bad right now.
I hope he doesn't steal another bag this year just so 22 – in A ball, he can steal 24 bags. High A, he can steal 24 bags. And then in Double A, he also steals 24 bags. And like, just keep it that way. He can be a 2020 guy. And we can hit the over under if he just stops at 24.
It's so bizarre. I mean, is he starting to get it going?
Dude, look at this. Look at this. What a great pull. We got Noah Conley. Shout out to him. What a good pull from Caminaro, Otto, and Omega a few days ago. Absolute great pull. His prices are great right now. Honestly, Noah, I would sell it.
I wanted to talk about Caminaro. I didn't have him written down, but I was looking at his prices. And I was also, he came up on some, I don't know, like his prices are so high that it probably is a good idea to sell. But legitimately, he could be a top 10 prospect.
He could be legit. That is true.
He had a 191 WRC plus in high A. Then he gets called up to double A as a 19-year-old this year. And what does he do? Oh, he hits 306. It's like, okay, this guy's legit.
Okay. Just, yeah, I mean, look at comparing them, Mason Hour and Caminaro. They get called up to double A. One thrives and one doesn't even have eyeballs. So let's talk about this. What is your favorite buy in the hobby right now? I've talked about who you're taking a bath on. Who's a guy that's your favorite right now?
Yeah, there's a few right now that I'm very interested in. I think people listening will be interested because they're not the barrier to entry isn't crazy on any of these guys.
Okay.
So the first guy I want to talk about is Tyler Locklear. He was drafted this past year. He's with the Mariners. His base auto right now is going for $30 to $40. This is a guy that coming into the draft last year was an absolute data darling. Like, he was crushing balls in college. He had a 1,342 OPS at Virginia Commonwealth last year, an 8% strikeout rate. Then what does he do this year? Has a 992 OPS in high A, 14 doubles, 11 home runs, a 22% strikeout rate and a 12% walk rate, 25% line drive rate as well, which is love to see. I just love to see guys that hit line drives, very mixed batted ball approach. But Locklear hits the crap out of the ball too, exit velo wise. I would imagine, I don't have his 90th percentile exit velo or his max, but I would wager that it's pretty dang high. And he's very affordable, I think, for a guy that's going to mash. Even if he ends up at first base, I'm not even worried because he's going to mash.
Yeah, I mean, this same seller who was selling the $96 Netto is selling his Bowman Locklear's Bowman Chrome autos for $33. You could buy three Locklears or one Netto. Which one are you choosing?
Both.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are in a nice buy profile right now.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think Locklear is just like, if you want to buy a couple and it's $60, like you absolutely should.
Cool. So Locklear is one.
Yep. Another one that I really do like in the same kind of vein as well is Judd Fabian. If you remember, Fabian was a top prospect going into the 2022 draft. He was at Florida, and then he didn't sign. So the Red Sox drafted him. He didn't end up signing. He went back to school. He hit 24 home runs in 66 games. And this is another guy that's a model darling, like big-time power, a lot of patience at the plate. He will strike out a little bit. He has a 25% strikeout rate this year in high A, but a 16% walk rate, hits the ball in the air a ton. And he has a 922 OPS in high A this year with 9 home runs, 12 doubles, 19 stolen bases. And the other thing is he could project as a plus center fielder. Like he's legitimately good out in the outfield too.
So not only is he just got numbers to back up some stuff, but he's looking at a premium position for the card profile.
And his base auto right now, you can get it for $20.
I know, dude. I just looked at one of $24, and I'm like, dude, I had a Judd Fabian auto when this set broke in 22 Bowman Chrome, and I sold it immediately because it was like just, I mean, anytime that we're breaking like early stuff, I sell it immediately because the prices are just ridiculous. But now it might be an awesome opportunity to get back into Judd Fabian for me, and that's really cool.
And I think another thing when you're buying prospects is you kind of have to judge the system that they're in. And like Locklear's
that's a great point.
Has a great like Mariner system, Orioles system, both really good developmental systems. So I like trust that they are going to continue to develop as well. I think that's very important when you're investing in these prospects. But yeah, Fabian, the Orioles gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I mean, I do trust this Orioles system pretty decently. So what's number three then? We got Locklear, Fabian, number three.
Yeah, I'm going to step it up a notch here. I'm going to say Tyler Soderstrom is a good buy right now.
Beautiful.
His base auto right now is going between $60 and $70. And Soderstrom, I think, is that example of like his – prospect card came out when he was probably 19 or 20 years old, and he's 21 in AAA. He has 14 home runs in 54 games, and you look at his WRC plus on Fangraphs and you see an 85 WRC plus, and it's probably a little confusing, but then it's because he plays in Vegas, which is the launch pad of launch pads. But over the last month, Kendall, he has a 959 OPS and a 360 ISO. Like this dude was getting comps to Matt Olson before the season. And I still kind of see it. I think I sent you a video of his, and if you want to show that would be awesome.
Man, let's pull that up.
He has a sweet swing, man.
Let me pull this up here.
Yeah. While you're pulling that up, I think the other reason I like Soderstrom too, is that the A's are going to be moving to Vegas. And I think there's going to be some allure around that. And Soderstrom should be making his debut, like I would say, next year. So he'll be like a face of this new A's team.
That's freaking sick. Just on that alone, like if you can buy, they're going to be all over primetime. They're going to be all over primetime because MLB is like, gosh, we got to take this franchise that had 5,000 people showing up to their games, and then we got to turn it into something. So, all right. So this is the Soderstrom video. Let's see what we got.
Takes it oppo, just nuke.
Everyone loves a good Oppo taco, dude.
That's what you got to see from guys. Like, if they can do that, then you know that they're going to be able to hit balls 450.
Dude, wait, hold on. Just hold on just a second. Is this Oakland or is this Vegas? I mean, like, there's at least 30 people in the crowd. This is which ballpark is this?
They're on the road. Who are they playing?
Oh, I don't even know. The King Griffey Jr. here is Rally City, maybe? I don't know. Something like that.
But yeah, man, he's got a sweet swing. But yeah, beyond him being like a top prospect now for the last 2, 3, 4 years, he's finally putting it together at AAA as a 21-year-old. That's the other thing you have to remember. Like, he's in AAA as a 21-year-old. The average age of a AAA baseball player is like 24 or 25. So he's like, you know, he's there and he's mashing. I would expect him to continue to develop as well. But realistically, he's a guy that could hit 40 home runs.
That's so dope. You know, just like watching this Oppo Taco go out, looks like an honest pop fly off the bat, and then he just takes it yard. That's strength, man. I mean, look at the glutes as he comes around third. You know, like, this dude's a profiled hitter. Like, this guy's big and probably slots in at catcher or first base, but probably, yeah, first base long term.
First long term, yeah.
I mean, look at that dude right there. Like, what is that? That's like strength as he's coming down the profile here. Like, that is a full on man child. So I like this. I like this going forward. Soderstrom has been on our list here at Baseball Card Strategy Show. So it is awesome for me to hear you talk about Soderstrom, because he's a guy that I've been pumping. Definitely a different price point than these other guys, because of what he's got going on, because of how close he is probably to the major leagues. But you can get a PSA 10 of his right now for $165.
Yeah, and I mean, this is like a top 25 prospect in baseball. So, yeah, it's pretty legit. That's not a bad price for a guy that is a top, you know, 30 prospect.
Here's a good question here. Well, it's not a question, but I'm going to put it out here from Noah as well. Off the top prospects, but as a Tigers fan, I'm happy to see Torkelson heating up. He's on fire right now. Thank God Torkelson's coming back around, because it was looking pretty bleak for a minute.
I mean, yeah, it was looking, I don't know if it was ever looking bleak. Again, this is another guy that was kind of rushed to the big leagues. Yeah. And so he had to kind of figure it out on the fly. But he hits the ball damn hard, 49% hard hit rate this year. Clay wrote an article about it on Just Baseball. Clay Snowden, and he talked about how it could be possible that Torkelson doesn't get as much out of those hard hit balls in the air as he should, because he's putting topspin on the ball. And I think that's an interesting angle, because it could very well be what the problem is with Torkelson right now. But yeah, he's only 23 years old and still hitting the crap out of the ball. I'm sure he's going to develop into being a beast.
And I think, like, as Torque goes back in the right direction, his prices could skyrocket again, just because he's like one of those card darlings where, like, people loved to invest in him. Honestly, he's got a really beautiful signature. I know that probably doesn't always play into it, but sometimes it does. And Torque's autos look really nice. And so I could see Torque over the long term, as he heats up and this Tigers farm or this Tiger system just figures out what they're going to do, then they can do that card could inflate quite a bit. Paul comes in here. He's like, hey guys, Paul, sounds great. If you had to pick three prospects that have never been called up to buy and flip over the next 12 months, who would they be? I believe Locklear, Fabian, and Soderstrom are good plays. Would you say that all three of those are going to get called up in the next 12 months?
Soderstrom will get called up.
Soderstrom for sure, yeah.
I would. It would take a lot for Locklear and Fabian to get called up in the next 12 months, I think, because they're not currently on the 40 man. They're probably going to take a little bit longer. So that's a good question. I do have one more guy I do want to talk about.
Let's hear it.
And of course, I had to bring a Red Sox player with me.
I knew it.
But Roman Anthony, who was just released in this 2023 product, I think is a really good option for somebody that doesn't want to shell out a ton of money, but invest in a player that has a ton of potential, a sweet swing. His base auto right now is going for $35. He was a second round pick by the Red Sox, just turned 19 years old, and they already called him up to high A, which tells me that the Red Sox have a lot of belief in him. And when Chaim Bloom believes in a prospect, I tend to listen, because he has been for his entire career a very good analyst of prospects and building a farm system. When you go back to his time with the Rays, you can question what Chaim Bloom has done with a major league roster, but he's built a pretty damn good minor league system from where he got it when Dave Dombrowski left the Red Sox.
Yeah, because Dombrowski is known for taking farm systems and just poo-pooing on them and just trading everything they got.
Totally, man. And so the one drawback with Anthony is that in his very brief minor league career thus far, he's been hitting too many ground balls. He had a ground ball rate of 50% in low A, and that's somewhat the concern with him.
But let's look at a video.
Look at the video I sent, because this is what Roman Anthony can do when he puts the ball in the air.
So this is what you're dreaming on. Nice profile, honestly.
That ball is crushed. He's 19, hitting a ball 400.
God, that triangle back there is 420.
Yeah, dude. And he goes, oh, he doesn't just like scrape the wall. He goes over that.
No, I mean, that thing is gone.
19. And so
19 years old?
19 years old. Has a feel for the zone. He was walking 18% of the time in low A. He was striking out 18% of the time in low A. I think this is a prospect that could really rise quickly in hype over the next 6 to 12 months. And so for $35 for his base auto, I think that's a risk worth taking.
He's coming out of this new set, you said?
Yeah, new set, and he's already starting to get a little bit of top 100 buzz. Like, people are, you know, honorable mentioning him. And by the end of the season, if he continues to hit at high A, I would expect him to be on some top 100 lists.
Well, I know that Roman Anthony is a Red Sox player, and so obviously the Red Sox are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their major league franchise. As even you could probably say, there's some questions out there right now about what's going to go on over the next 12 months. And so with that question, you tend to think that those players that are maybe in that top echelon of that prospect ranking could move up and bounce up at least for a cup of coffee in that major league system this year. So in the next 12 months, a guy that's a $35 base chrome auto out of the 2023 Bowman set, if he's already $35, I would expect this to, but if he doesn't get called up, to climb down a little bit, you could probably buy this all the way down to 25, 20 bucks. And you could make some serious win on this, because what the Sox do have is a franchise that loves their baseball team. And if they do gravitate towards a guy, that card price is going to skyrocket.
Yeah. I have a feeling this one's going to go up by the end of this year. So not a bad spot to buy. Back to Paul's question, though, I do have another Red Sox player that could definitely debut in the next 12 months, and that's Nick York, who was a former top 50 prospect and who dealt with injuries all of last season, had an abysmal season last year, hit 231, and we were like, what's going on with Nick York? But he was just dealing with turf toe and injury after lingering injury. And then this year, he's back with a new new setup. He has his hands really high. And so he's crushing the ball, man. 141 WRC plus so far this year. He's hitting 294, a 23% strikeout rate, 13% walk rate. And that's as a 21-year-old in double A. And not an old 21-year-old, just turned 21 2 months ago. So I think the Red Sox really want Nick York to get to the big leagues, because second base is a big weakness for the Red Sox right now. And he looks like their future second baseman. His cards are still somewhat expensive.
Yeah, he's got the name that people are going to recognize,
which I think is good. It's good that you.
Yeah, and the high end, that's definitely going to benefit him for sure. Another card darling from the Red Sox that's unfortunate this year is Blyce going down. I like him, man. I like what I see from him. I always say stay away from international free agents in that Bowman Chrome set that comes out later in the year. It's a ton of international free agents that are like 16 years old. Blyce may be one of them, though, that I am still high on.
He's got all the tools in the world. But yeah, he's a 19-year-old that was playing in low A and not really playing that well, but he has all the tools. So I don't know. It's not a guy that I'm necessarily investing because I just can't. It's a guy I just can't predict.
But he's just so far away, man. And I believe he's injured right now pretty seriously.
He's out for the year.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I have also talked about Colt Keith being the next 12 months up in the Tigers system. Love what he's being able to do. Bought two out of 150 autos last week for about $200 a piece. So this is a pretty significant investment for me. But at the same time, I believe he's going to be up in the next soon. So Colt Keith coming to the major leagues is another one, Paul, that I would go on to. Let's jump in here with some of our comments. We got some of our guys in here. Chad made it better late than never. Been a crazy day at work this week. Say, hey, Chad, welcome in. We love having you. Brian Steeler always asking for a baseball show. And he comes in and says, I forget the show is today. Luckily, brother, it is recorded. And we haven't necessarily jumped into the big juice of how Colby is going to evaluate players and really give us the nitty gritty. And we're about to go into that. So this Noah, man, he's just on one. He has multiple Roman Anthony first Bowman mega base. He's definitely has some upside. So Noah is following a lot of what you're talking about here. Eric Stefano, thanks for been a long time since I saw your name come across the screen. Love the show. Love that you're back. I always remember you doing that cool BMX trick in your profile picture. And so thanks for coming back, Eric. We love having you. So, Colby, we have talked quite a bit today about certain stats that you've mentioned. And I'm sure somebody's like, okay, cool, name. I got the name. Don't know what the heck they're saying or what they're talking about. When I first met Colby, I had to ask him like a million questions about like, are you speaking English, my friend? Because I was just like, there's the stuff. I've watched baseball my whole life and I had no idea what WRC plus was. So I've talked a little bit about it and we've talked a little bit about it in our Bowman for Dummies video when we first launched it on this series. But if you could run, if you were just looking at, if somehow you could run data from all minor leaguers, what would be the four stats that you would say it needs to be above this for it to be a card that I'm willing to put money onto? What would that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost unfair to say that it's like you have to follow one formula to be a good hitter in baseball, but there is definitely a formula that leads to not automatic success, but like close to it.
Yeah.
And so you can access all of this data. If you go to FanGraphs and you go to prospects and then go to minor league leaderboards, you can actually query.
Okay, I'm going to do that as you're talking. So we're going to go to FanGraphs. Let's see. Let's do this. Okay, this is my favorite site to look up any data. I don't know if it's Colby's favorite, but definitely my favorite place to go find data is at FanGraphs.
This is where I go too. So you go over to prospects all the way on the right top.
All right, prospects. Okay, boom.
And go just click the board. That's fine. You can click the board. And then in the top right, you'll see MILB leaderboards.
Okay.
Right there. They do make it a little confusing to get to it. I wish they could make that a little easier. But then from there, if you go.
No, FanGraphs.
Oh, I pay. Come on. You go, how often do you go to FanGraphs?
Give them like every single day, but I'm cheap, dude. I'm cheap.
If you go, you see the stat filters.
Yep.
So you can go to that and you can select like strikeout rate, for example. Or like
freaking good.
Yeah, go to strikeout rate and then go less than 25%. Okay. Then go do it again. You can do walk rate. Actually, you know what? No. X out strikeout rate. Go to BB per K, which should
BB
be
right per K. All right. Right.
Strikeout rate. Yep. Go and do that as point. Anything above 0.3 is decent, but you really want it to be closer to 0.4. So let's go greater than 0.4. Let's try to really narrow this down.
Okay.
Okay, and then go to apply.
Okay.
And then you're going to go to ISO.
Oh, love ISO. One of my favorites.
And I'll explain why we're doing this at the end.
And explain what they are as well.
So ISO, we're going to do greater than 0.2.
0.2, greater than or equal to 0.2. All right.
Then we're going to apply that. And that should have narrowed it down to what? How many do we have?
We have 8 pages of...
Okay, well, let's go...
We've got at least 400 hitters.
Here is a big problem. Okay, go to stat filters again. And is there a plate appearances or a games played? Yeah, let's go to games played.
Where is that?
G, just the G, top left, right below age.
Okay.
Yep. And we're going to do greater than 30 games. Apply. So we want to get all those Dominican Summer League guys out of there.
All right. We've got 130 players.
Okay. And then we're going to go over to advanced. Kendall for me.
Where?
Right next to stand. You see standard advanced? Yep. And then actually, you know what? Go to stat filters again. Let's add an age filter as well because we don't want to be buying 26-year-olds. Let's go less than or equal to 23 years old. Apply that. So that should have narrowed
it down. That's 55.
Much better. See? Okay. And now we're going to sort by WRC+.
All right. And then we're going to sort by WRC+.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Jackson Holliday.
I'm actually going to explain why we did that. So first of all, BB per K is just how often is a guy walking for how often he strikes out. So,
which would stimulate good plate vision, right?
Yeah, it's plate discipline, right? If a guy strikes out 25% of the time and he walks 12% of the time, that's still a good thing and something that is sustainable because yes, he's striking out a good amount, but he's also able to get on base, and that's something that is valuable. So that's, you know, it just shows good plate discipline. You don't want to be buying guys that have a 30% strikeout rate and a 5% walk rate. It's a good thing to be disciplined at the plate. Then ISO is my favorite stat that we have publicly available to us for minor league data because that isolates power. It's isolated.
What's your favorite non-public data?
I mean, I would love if we had hard hit rate. And
hard hit rate for sure. That was my answer too.
It would be awesome if we had max exit velocity as well. Like all those stats, I hope become publicly available at some point. It really should be. But isolated power is about the best we got because hard hit rate and all of those things.
What is isolated power? Can you
go into isolated power? So isolated power basically just puts a value on doubles, triples, and home runs. And so it's valuing extra base hits. And so if you have a higher ISO, you're hitting more extra base hits. That is good. You want to hit more extra base hits. So usually, I believe league average ISO is around, I don't know, 160, 170-ish. I usually like to be buying guys that have over a 0.2. If they have a 180 and they're hitting a lot of line drives, like I still like it. But for sake of this, like I want to look at some outliers. And then I usually try to get all the Dominican Summer League guys out of there.
The Dominican Summer League and Complex League are just, it's a playground out there. So you gotta get them at least an A, high A, or double A preferable other than that. So another thing that I would say is any guy, like obviously WRC plus at 100 is a non-negotiable. That's a league average player. So Alex De Jesus is not a guy that we're going to be looking at. But if you look at the top of this chart, there's a lot of guys we like on here, but I'm seeing a lot of names that we haven't talked about. Obviously, Jackson Holliday, number one pick, looks like he's just extremely worth the cost that the Baltimore Orioles are paying for him. Encarnacio Strand, definitely going to make a call up in the next 6 to 12 months. Probably could be between the next 6 to 12 days, honestly. And then we've got our man Colt Keith here in the top 10. Henry Davis making a research in top 12, which is kind of crazy. Colby Mayo, that's a guy we haven't talked about.
Passed over Tyler Locklear's right there.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. Almost like Colby knows what he's doing. But Matt McClain having a heck of a year. But who is this? Zach DiCenzo. Let's just have a look. I don't even know who Zach DiCenzo is.
Well, this is the problem. Like, not all these guys have cards.
I know. That's another – I mean, you obviously can't do that in – this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. Zach DiCenzo does not have cards. Put that in our group chat for a guy who needs to be on a buy list when he becomes available. Zach DiCenzo, 23 years old, looks pretty nice. 390? Holy moly. This guy's due for a call-up. Or at least
he has a 470 BABIP. I'm sure that's sustainable.
Talk about it.
Yeah, so BABIP is just batting average on balls in play. So, you know, league average BABIP is probably around 320 or 330. I do like to look for high BABIP in guys in the minor leagues, though. That's a good thing. That means that the balls in play that they're – that means that the
– they're placing –
you know, the balls that they're putting in play are usually hard. And that's one way to kind of get around the hard hit rate. The lack of hard hit rate data is like, okay, Ellie De La Cruz, for example, is a good one to talk about in that way because, yeah, he has a 30% strikeout rate. But if you look at his BABIP, it's quite high because the balls that he's putting into play are usually.
So here's a good example. Colton Cowser, we like him a lot. Isolated 217, 425 BABIP. This guy's hitting the ball hard.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And we like Colton Cowser a lot, and he probably will get a call up in the next 6 to 12 months as well.
Yeah, there were some other guys on there, but yeah. Oh, you know what? Matt McClain's a guy that I wanted to talk about because if you own Matt McClain, I hope you sold in the last, like, not even now. Like, I hope you sold 2 weeks ago because I was looking at his card prices and I was like, oh my God, a $300 raw sold 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, Matt McClain, he's definitely been some incredibly high priced Reds players because, like, I think. Right now, this current profile of Reds players is getting some juice just because they play alongside of Ellie, just because people are wanting to tune in and look. I mean, I've seen Spencer Steer get some juice, and, like, obviously he's playing well this year, but, like, I mean, he's just a average dude. Where does Jonathan India, like, even set in long-term in this lineup?
Like,
the bench?
Seventh or eighth? Like, yeah, not in it? I don't know.
That's so weird. Okay, so let's try to find one of these guys that has – let's try this guy right here, this Chang Auto. Let's see. I think Chang does have an auto.
RM actually just wrote about him. He's been very hot.
Bowman Chrome. Oh, my gosh. All right. Is this him?
That's not him.
Not him.
It's all not right. Him.
Is there – okay. Maybe he doesn't have a card. Maybe I was thinking this, Chang. Let's just do this. Admittedly, I am an American. I'm not great at spelling. Yep, and nothing. Okay, so.
Let's go back. Who else we got on here?
Dalton Rushing. He's a Dodger, so he's going to be a card darling. Chris Newell. That's a guy that I haven't really heard from.
I don't think he has a card either.
All right. Well, what the audience is getting here is they are getting a live. This is how we search for dudes. So let's just do Dalton Rushing. I know he has cards. So we got Dalton Rushing, Bowman Chrome autos here, $73. So do you think that's an accurate price for where he's at? I mean, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I don't have,
looks like the hobby is fine on Dalton Rushing. Similarly, because
down a little bit for me.
All right, let's see.
I want to see some of these other guys. Who we got? All right, who are we working with?
I'm going to pull this down here so we can look at the names and also be able to look up searches on eBay.
Man, you know, Amador could be a buy. What are his cards going for right now?
Amador's cards actually are going for pretty decent right now. Let me see. He was a guy that I talked about quite a bit last year that I have kind of gotten off of, because honestly, I get a little confused with the three Rockies guys that I'm on. And then it's like Amador, and then you've got Tovar, and then you have some other guys. So this guy, woo, we got some inflated prices here, my man.
Yikes. Speaking of Tovar, so just to prove the case for this method, the reason I bought Ezekiel Tovar for $15 2 years ago, I flipped him for $90, like, I don't know, a year later. And I was literally, I had no idea who Ezekiel Tovar was. I hadn't even watched video, but I looked at data like this and I was like, huh, this guy's not striking out much, hitting for a lot of power, hitting for average. This is interesting. So I just bought it.
Remember when you dropped it for us?
Why not? And so, yeah, he exploded.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Amador is going for about $30 to $40. That's good.
Honestly, that seems like a reasonable price for him. I would be definitely willing to buy him for that price. Like, that's another guy that's like a top 50 prospect, 20 years old in high A.
There's got to be one of these guys that's like super unheard of that actually does have a card.
Oh, Carson Williams is another name. His cards are going for a decent amount, but it's I think that one's going to pay off.
Which, who? Carson Williams?
Carson Williams.
He's a card darling. And also a fantasy darling. I've been trading him like crazy in Dynasty Leagues. But his autos are only $44.90 right now. That's not bad. Did I lose you?
No, you're good. I'm here.
Okay. I'm not looking at the actual screen. So, let's see here. I think it's pretty sweet that we've got Tyler Locklear on here. You've got Colt Keith on here. You've got,
Fabian.
Where is he at? Yeah. Judd Fabian on here. These are guys we've talked about. James Wood. This is a guy that I've been big on over the last couple of weeks. What I think you could do here with James Wood is the same thing that I just did with our play on, sorry, there's a million tabs going on here. So I just did this with Spencer Jones. I took a bunch of his Bowman Chrome base chromes, sent them into PSA, and I'm all in with price and grading fee about $25. I just sold my first one for $60. So if I can keep doing that with all 14 of them, I'm going to make a 300-ish dollar profit on just the 10s. So I think that's another thing we could do with James Wood. If you're wanting to make a strategic play for the long term, is you could take some PSA 10s of a group grading for James Wood and just go out and just grade a ton of them and just see if you can make some, because he's got the profile. He's got the profile that's there. So other guys that are on this list that we like, that we've heard of, is obviously Ellie's number 21 on this list. Colby Mayo making a return here is pretty cool, because he is virtually not talked about anymore. He used to be a guy that was really talked about in this Baltimore Orioles system, and there's so many Orioles that they would talk about over Mayo now. So Mayo might be a really good buy right now.
Oh, dude, yeah, I think Mayo is almost a lock to be a top 50 prospect, if not higher, in this next update at Just Baseball. Like, I would expect him to be pretty dang high.
Let's see. We got Brian Steeler says, "Hey Kendall, here's a blast from the past. Probably the first card you turned me on to, Austin Shenton. Heard he's been doing good and was hurt last year. What do y'all think? Still have three autos. Got them very cheap. I got them so cheap. I literally had a guy one time go, 'I don't know who this is. You can have it for free.' There was literally a guy who gave me an Austin Shenton auto for free. He is hitting pretty decently right now. But we've got Colby Mayo, Bowman Chrome autos going for $50.
Wow.
31. No, this one's $31. Colby Mayo, $31.
That's the buy of the show right there.
Buy of the show. Okay. I told Colby, I said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to find a guy that fits our profile and we're going to buy one on the show. So what I'm going to do, boom, this is what we do, guys. I'm walking you through my process. We went, saw the stats. We saw the guy that is undervalued. We've got Colby Mayo here, going to be an Oriole. In a nice farm system, let's find one that's this is what I like to do. We'll go to a buy it now. If there's any. Got $69. That one looks like it has some surface issues. $79. All right, I'm going to put some offer in on these, and I will update everybody on the Monday show which Kobe Mayo I ended up coming home with, because we're 15 seconds away from an hour show. Kobe, primarily, I want to thank you for coming on, because what you've done for me has been like you've opened me up to having statistical analysis be a large part of my card profiling, and that has allowed me to unlock a lot of wins that I did not expect. And so as we go forward, guys that I'm going to make huge plays on are because of some of the shoulders that I'm standing on, but like guys like you and Aram, and I've been able to learn how to prospect. And what I'm trying to do on this show is teaching other people how to dig in the data and find those winners. And so thanks for coming on today. We've talked about a lot of guys. My last question right before we leave is there a guy who is statistically overrated that you say, if you're in this guy, sell, and if you're not, stay completely away. Don't care what the media says. Do not buy this guy's card.
Elijah Green, who has a 40% strikeout rate in low A. He has a 50% ground ball rate in low A. And if you're a 19-year-old top five draft pick and you can't hit low A pitching and you're striking out a 40% rate against low A pitching, there is something seriously, seriously wrong. And his cards are still going for a pretty penny. Like a raw base auto of his is going for like close to $100. That's just insane.
Wow. Great insight. We have a couple of guys that are high on Elijah Green on this show. And so that's awesome insight for us to be able to kind of cover our butts a little bit. So thanks, Colby. Once again, you're the man. Thanks for coming on, shouting out Just Baseball. How can they reach you?
Yeah, you guys can reach me on Twitter. It's Colby_Olson3. And I also do a fantasy baseball podcast called Just Fantasy Baseball. We record twice a week. We go over, you know, waiver wire ads, you know, starting pitcher streamers, latest fantasy baseball news. So definitely check that out too. That's with my guy Clay as well.
Drop it in the, can you get to the comments? Like drop your stuff in the comments for people. Should be at the top right.
Yeah, I don't think I can actually comment though. It just says private chat. And then comments, I can't type. But
Okay, well, I'll type it. Say it again.
It's Just Fantasy Baseball is the podcast. And you guys can find me on Twitter at Colby_Olson3. So, but yeah, Kendall, I really appreciate you having me on. It's always nice to come on and talk cards and talk about the statistical analysis behind it, because that is the best way to make money in this hobby. And it's a hobby filled with, you know, it's a hobby filled with junk sometimes. There are a lot of bad players that go for a lot of money, and there's ways to make some money in this hobby. So always good to be a help.
Thanks, buddy. Look forward to working more with you in the future. You said you might be at the Nationals, so we might get you out there giving you an interview in live in person at the Sports Card Strategy Show booth. We actually have one this year, so pretty cool. And so I will see you soon, bro.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Talk to you later.
At this point, we're going to cue the rock music. Thanks for being here. And as you guys have seen, Brian Steeler obviously loves this show. He thinks it's a must. So we'll see you soon. And talk to you. We're signing off. Cue the rock music.